Welcome to the New Regime podcast, a Cleveland Browns podcast recorded. Well, it's supposed to be recorded after every single game. The reason we call it New Regime is because we're all ready to start over after every game. Find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at New Regime Pod. Thanks for joining me. This is your final episode of the season. It's been long. It's been difficult. I struggled there towards the end. If this were a marathon, I was running at 8-minute clips throughout, and then in the last 6 miles, just stumbling, just running 12s, just trying to cross the finish line. That's where I'm at right now. But I feel good about this podcast. I feel excited that this is my first season doing it, and I appreciate everybody who's been listening. It's been important to me that people have been listening, and I love it. This podcast, we're going to talk about a few things. Talk about the ending to the season. Bengals were a fun team to beat towards the end, weren't they? And we got to talk a little bit about the Ravens game that we lost and then the one they recently lost. I want to talk about teams we can beat in the playoffs that are in the playoffs. I have some requests of you, future of the AFC North, 3 points from section 346. Let's talk uniforms, predictions on coaches, offseason needs, players we have that can be great, some sleepers, guys I don't really care for. Let's get into the finale.
What was that all about?
All right, quickly, I want to talk about that Browns loss at the end of the season. I know I'm bringing up some painful stuff. Baker threw 3 picks. Wasn't a good game for him. The thing, though, is the guy just doesn't really have a memory for bad plays. And we've seen him bounce back multiple times this year, and that's been one of my favorite things in watching the rookie play. You look for that in a leader, right? You look for a guy who, when he makes a mistake, comes back and brings the team back. Lamar Jackson in that game was just ridiculously good against the Browns. You know, had 20 carries, 90 yards. Then Kenneth Dixon had another 117 yards, averaged almost 10 yards a carry. And you look at that and just go, man, the Browns really just couldn't stop that one play. And then if you wait a week and you watched yesterday's game on January 6th, you can see what happens when the Chargers figure out the one play that works for the Ravens. I mean, how many times did we see that option play just get completely blown up by the Chargers? Kenneth Dixon had 6 carries for 13 yards. Lamar Jackson was the best rusher, 9 carries for 54 yards, took several hits on those runs, and Lamar Jackson was sacked 7 times for 55 yards, threw a pick. Under 50% completion, you know, the thing that kept the Ravens into the Chargers game, the thing that kept them from getting blown out was their amazing defense. But their offense looked awful. I mean, that's a Super Bowl defense, and if they had Joe Flacco starting that game, there's no way they don't win. Right? Don't you think Flacco wins this game based on how terrible they looked running the same tired play over and over again? I don't know, man. That just, after the Chargers figured it out, it was like, do the Ravens have an answer? And they didn't seem to. When we talk about the Browns-Ravens game from last week, you know, the Browns just didn't have an answer for that. It was just that one gimmick over and over again. The Browns couldn't stop it. And you hated watching it, because you felt like the whole time the Browns really were a better team overall. And the other thing that I want to take away from that game is the Ravens, their defense is crazy good. And that's the kind of defense that you'd love to see in Cleveland. It's going to be difficult to end up with a defense like that. But if you pair the offense we had in the last 8 games of this season with a defense like that, and it's, you know, deep into the playoff talk. So, you know, since the game was that far away, the Browns put up 24 points on the Ravens defense that, you know, really wasn't giving up a whole bunch of points. I mean, the Chargers, they scored, you know, 23 points, but, you know, they had the ball. It seemed like they had the ball just more. It seemed like the team stats overall were heavily in the Chargers' favor as far as, you know, possessions were concerned. The Browns were had a lot more difficulty within the run game, stopping the run game on the defensive side. So, you know, whatever, game's over. But I was proud with the way the Browns played, marching into Baltimore, playing as well as they did. Baker throwing 3 touchdown passes, setting the record. Those are things to be proud of for the Browns moving into next season.
Playoffs.
Okay. So looking at the playoff picture, you know, this season, and you look at how the Browns ended this season, it makes you confident for the direction we're headed. And I look at these teams that made the playoffs, and I do not think we could beat the Chiefs. I do not think we could beat the Patriots. That one might be an interesting game, though. I don't think we can beat the Chargers. But if we were to play the Ravens again right after last week's game, I think we could beat them. I thought we were the better team. I really do. And the difference between these two teams wasn't that close. Or wasn't that big. And I also think the Ravens were handed a win by the refs. So there's that. Now you look at the Texans. We lost to them in the regular season. I think we're a better team now than we were when we played them. And the Colts. I thought we were a better team than the Colts. I think we could beat the Colts. Such a homer thing to say, you know? And then I look at the NFC. I thought the NFC was weaker. I don't think we could beat the Rams. But we went down to the wire with the Saints. The Saints were playing better ball, though, so I think the Saints would beat the Browns. But the rest of those teams, I think the Browns could win against. I think they could beat the Bears, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, and the Eagles. The Browns' offense just looked so good, and the Browns' defense was making plays when they had to. And so that makes you excited about next season, but cautiously, right? Because we have to talk about the coaching search.
That's not an area code.
All right, so I want to do 3 points from section 346. Okay, so first point from section 346 is the coaching search. Be careful and be smart, he says. And my response to that is, thank you, Captain Obvious. For real! No, it's a good point. It really is a good point, because if you think about it, it's so easy to mess this up. It really is so easy to mess this up. And you really aren't going to know if you got the right guy. Everybody trusts in John Dorsey, right? He's earned that respect given the draft he had. This is a whole different kind of search. And it is a difficult thing. I totally appreciate that point. Be careful, be smart. When Hugh got fired, when Haley got fired, the whole deal was that they left Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchens. They didn't have any pressure on him to succeed, right? It's like, well, they're going to clean house anyway. So no pressure on those guys. Another sub point of this first point is from my friend, most important skill our coach should have as being the man in charge who can hire good staff and delegate the power. There are great coaches everywhere that are just meant to be coordinators, right? And then some are just good leaders and delegators and hold people accountable. And that's, you know, what we saw in Greg Williams when he took over, right? Things were a little bit more accountable. There was a little bit more attention to detail. And with a young team, you need that. And that's what Hugh, you know, seemed to be Hugh's downfall, is there wasn't enough attention to detail, clearly. And how many times did we see Baker Mayfield this year in interviews say, we have to do our jobs. We have to do our jobs. I didn't do my job. There was an accountability in him that is going to permeate throughout this organization and through the players. And that's really the major point, the major thing you need for success is accountability. And there really wasn't any with Hugh, clearly, right? There also wasn't any creativity. There was a lot of issues with what Hugh was doing. And, you know, I look at this coaching search, and as a fan, it's so hard not to be biased and look at all of this and say, why would we not hire Freddie Kitchens to be at least the offensive coordinator, and why not the head coach who calls the plays? I want this guy to be here forever. What, are we going to have him coach one more season and then leave? You know what I mean? It's tough, right? Because obviously we saw what happens when a head coach tries to also call the plays. It's a difficult job to do. You need to be delegating. I don't want Freddie to leave. Another friend proposed the idea of just paying these two top dollar coordinator dollars, right? paying them the most coordinator dollars they could possibly make, and then bringing in another head coach and having him use these two guys. But a head coach is going to bring in his own guys, period. Right? That's just such a hard thing to do. So for me, I'm just a Freddie Kitchens guy. That's the hardest thing to do, is have a franchise quarterback, which we found. We did the hardest thing. And then the second hardest thing is have a coach who has chemistry with him. And we have had both of those things in the last 8 games of the season. And yes, we didn't beat the really, really good teams. Know why? Because we have so many young players who weren't in their primes during this game, and they will be in the next few years. Man, it's really hard for me to move on from this coaching staff as is. I really liked what they did in these last games. It all comes down to the idea that you got to let Dorsey pick his guy. You got to let Dorsey pick his guy. And maybe that's Kitchen stays. Maybe it's not. But do you have faith that Baker's going to be as good with another coordinator? Because if you don't, then what are you doing taking another guy? Because he's already proven. He's already proven that he can move the ball with this coordinator. That's the hardest thing to do in sports. How do we move on from Kitchens, man? It's going to be a hard sell for me. I got to be honest. It's going to be a really hard sell for me. Man, this next one is just such a Browns fan point. I love my friend. I grew up with him. I think the exact same way, and I hate it. But he's right. We all think this way in Cleveland. He said, don't assume 10 or more wins. He's like, how many times do we have a good season and then we fall back? This Browns team is not like those other Browns teams. He's just like, basically he's trying to temper this excitement. And I totally appreciate why, man. Because we've been hurt so many times and we're so sick of it. You know, we don't like being hurt. And I totally understand it, man. And that's why this coaching search is just, it has me shaking in my boots. Because if we started another season right now with this coaching staff, I honestly think we would be 10-6. Oh, I totally understand that point and I hate it, but I appreciate it. Okay, next one, last one. What do you do at backup? Because Terod's not going to stay, right? He's not going to be re-signed for $16 million again, right? He's on a single year, I think. So what are you doing at backup? You probably are going to keep Stanton around, right? It's kind of that coaching guy. So do you bring in a young player? See how he is? You know, cheap. It's all about cheap, right? If you're going to spend some money on some of those important positions to make a playoff run next year, then you're probably not spending that money on your backup quarterback. So these are all good points. You know, when looking at what the Browns are going to do next year. And I'm excited to talk about that next. What are we going to go after in this offseason? The number one position, in my opinion, for Browns need is defensive line. Interior defensive line, you want somebody to play next to Larry O who can push the pocket. I felt like they lacked a little bit there. I thought that they had a little bit of trouble against the run. And you just need that versatile, you know, killer inside on your defensive line, and you have a pretty good defense for the Browns. And I think they're going to get better too with maturation of some of those younger players on defense. I'm also looking at linebacker for the Browns. I thought that they just didn't look that good this year at linebacker. I mean, they got gashed a lot in the run game. And I think some of that though is schematic, where, you know, your players are just completely out of position. You're taking a risk at, you know, a blitz on one side, or you're blitzing in the wrong place and it opens you up somewhere else. You know, Schobert showed his value this year when he left, and you saw just a lack of linebacking talent, consistent linebacking talent throughout the year. And I wonder about Kirksey, because he mentioned in a tweet that he was injured. Collins sometimes shows up, sometimes doesn't. The guy makes a crazy good, at least one really good play every game, but also seems to lack effort in certain scenarios. You know, so I'm looking at defensive line, number one thing we need. I'd take that first with our first pick if there's depth there available. Linebacker, another surprise here, edge. I think we do need an edge rusher. You know, I like Avery, and I think as a third down pass rushing player, he's a really good part of the team. Who knows? He could continue to develop and into a, you know, three down defensive edge. I thought Ogba really wasn't where he needed to be this year. You know, did he really make that many plays this year? I thought he was pretty good against, you know, he blocked a lot of passes at the line of scrimmage, and he seemed to show up there pretty consistently. But I didn't really see enough of him in the sack department, right? Had some tackles for losses. I guess I'm not impressed yet. And still, I think he's had plenty of time to develop into a player. He's had and been in a good position to develop into a decent player. And I think he's okay. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's phenomenal. And I think we could use some help there. Those are two positions, too, that you think about possibly in free agency. You know, are you really going to get an edge rusher in late in the draft again? It's not likely, right? So those are a couple of positions that you might think about targeting in free agency. Tackle positions. You know, I thought our tackles got way more solid as the year went. They did get a little help. We were doing some max protect stuff towards the end of the year. But, you know, they held their own in a lot of scenarios that, you know, they weren't in the beginning. And in the move, the switch at left tackle was a big move for the Browns. It tremendously helped this team be successful. And, you know, that's a bad call, starting Harrison at the beginning of the year by Hugh Jackson. So I think that, you know, was a... And to be fair to him, I mean, how much did he have in front of him? I don't think Dorsey gave him a whole lot of options either. Corbett, you know, what happened to him this year? You know, he got injured and he didn't really even play. So I don't know what happened there either, and I'll be interested to see what they do with the left tackle, alleged left tackle they took in the second round of the draft this year. But I think we could see, you know, a little bit of movement there. I thought they did struggle here and there, but towards the end of the season, Baker was getting rid of the ball a lot faster. They schemed it that way, so these guys didn't have to hold their blocks as long, and when they were depended on, they still were fairly dependable. Wide receivers, you know, I don't think we need them as badly as some people are saying. I really enjoyed watching some of these younger players get open. And it is, isn't it amazing how we didn't talk as much this year about how the Browns need weapons? The Browns need weapons. Oh, Josh Gordon's gone. Well, we don't have any weapons on offense. We had plenty of weapons on offense, especially with how creative it was. It's amazing how easy it is to have successful players when they're schemed open, when you don't need to thread the needle every single time because the defense can predict everything that's occurring on your offense. You know, I loved watching the team this year because there were just so many times where Baker knew where to go with the ball, so credit to him for being able to read the defense, for him knowing his plays. But you had two guys who could stretch the defense, Perriman and Callaway. You had Landry, who's, you know, very consistently open. You had Higgins, who took a huge step. I think we all were really excited when he got drafted. Just seemed to look like an NFL wide receiver. And this year was just, it's so weird because you talk about the step that players are supposed to make, and often they don't when they're the Browns. I mean, remember like Greg Little? And he didn't really do much, and he never really made anything, you know, and he probably was overdrafted. And there's a lot of players like that in the Browns' history. But this year, Higgins, you know, really did take that leap, and I was really excited to see it. I hope that, you know, this guy comes back next year, and I think he's a free agent this year. I'm not entirely positive, but you hope that he comes back on the Browns, and they have that wide receiver core because it was a consistent wide receiving core this year. So some excitement there as far as the Browns playmakers are concerned. You want to see a little bit more Duke Johnson action next year. But overall, if this offense came back as it is right now, I think we would all be okay with that. I think we would all just be like, okay, man, let's get after it. Let's just play. I think everybody in Cleveland wants to pick up from where we left off right now. We don't even want the offseason. We want to just go. We want to keep everything as is because we think this team with this staff and with this core group of players is going to be pretty good. And I think they will be too, given, you know, still that so much of it is in its, going to be in its second and third year next year. Really going to be an exciting year next year. And there is no reason why we can't be very competitive in this division.
The future looks bright.
Okay, so my transitions, that's one of the things we're going to need to work on for next season. Future of the AFC North. Man, it's so weird to watch just the fluctuation of this division. Steelers, you know, they had a lot of drama happen towards the end of the season. You had Le'Veon Bell, who didn't show the whole season. Man, what a horrible decision that turned out to be. How many millions of dollars did you lose yourself and your family and take away a year of, you know, a year of your prime? I don't know. I don't like the move by Bell to sit out. It's like, take your transition, sign a decent contract when you're done, or, you know, sign a big contract with your team. Get paid, man. I mean, the rules are what they are. You play the worst position to get paid and make your money while you can make it. I don't know. I still hate the move of him sitting out. They didn't miss him, really. They didn't miss him that much. Antonio Brown saga, that whole thing. You know, again, he wants to be traded. Big Ben, that whole drama. It's like, you know, if I'm the Steelers and I start looking at how long does Ben have, you know, a season, two seasons, it's like, you better start hunting that guy now. Find your guy. Find your next guy. I don't know. The Steelers are lucky enough to always end up and luck into another good quarterback or a good situation just because it's Pittsburgh. I feel like they've been good my entire life. But, you know, if I'm these players, I want to play with Big Ben. Like, even if he's an atrocious human being. I don't know, man. The longevity of a career in the NFL is so small. And even though these guys, you know, his skill players are studs, what really keeps you around is your chemistry with your quarterback. And it's like, if you're winning and you're making plays, you know, you try to stay with that. Unless you're going to get the big payday, right? That's the only thing you leave for. But it's like, time to make nice with your quarterback. I don't know. Maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. And they are calling him out. He hasn't been a good leader. Hasn't been a good dude. But, I just don't know how you leave a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just a tough call in my book if I'm trying to stay in the NFL for as long as possible. Ravens. So you look at Lamar Jackson. Boy, did he unravel this week against the Chargers. They have a great team, man. I'm excited for the Chargers. I never really cared for Phillip Rivers, but that's a guy that deserves a Super Bowl. If Eli Manning has two, Phillip Rivers deserves one, okay? Lamar Jackson, don't feel bad at all for him losing. Shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. Baker said that it's going to be Lamar and him competing for the division for a long time. I don't think so. I don't know, man. Chargers figured out the gimmick. It's like, unless Lamar learns how to throw a football, he's not going to last. I don't know. I really like him as an athlete, and they were super creative with him. He'll be exciting to watch, really. But I don't necessarily think that he was, you know, the guy in the NFL to be excited about. Bengals, I don't know what they're doing. They got to revamp, right? They're bringing in a new coach, probably going to, you know, change things up. They are getting a little long in the tooth too. They do still have some playmakers though. So if I'm the Bengals, man, you know who I'm going after? Joe Flacco. I think I'd rather have him than Andy Dalton. And boy, what would that do for the rivalry? They still got some players, right, that can make those plays. Flacco has a good arm. You know, pair him with Green. I don't know. That's what I'm going after. So, who knows? But I like the Browns' chances in the future of the AFC North for the considerable future, because I think they will be good.
You're going out in that?
Browns, got to talk about those uniforms, right? Just a little bit. I know we didn't talk that much about them. I super care about them. Look. We switched it up after Hugh got fired. How great was that? We saw some different color pants. Why were we excited about that? The color rush uniforms, overrated. Too many people love those things. They're okay. The old uniforms were better. The old uniforms were better than the stupid Color Rush uniforms, so stop even talking about it. I hate orange numbers. They look ridiculous. I am excited about I still thought they were better, right? They looked a lot cooler than what we have. That's why they look so good, because they're way better than what we have. And man, if I could take a fine, I would wear those every home game. I would pay the fine for whatever that is. Looking at it, Browns are going to unveil new uniforms, not this coming 2019 season, but in 2020, which, look, I think we could all be okay with. I think any revamp of these uniforms, even go back to the old ones, would work. I think I would be open for big, drastic changes. I don't think we need an orange helmet. I know that's blasphemy in Cleveland, but there's already another team with an orange helmet, and they're not changing it. So, I don't know. I'm totally down for going back to the very classic, just plain old white helmet with the brown numbers, and that's it. Just looking like a peewee football team. I'm glad that I'm not the one making the decision, because I think no matter what you do with a uniform change, no one will be happy. Really, the only way you will make anybody happy is if you juxtapose that uniform change with a winning football team, and then it doesn't matter. It'll just be great, and we will love it because they're winning in it. So I won't hate it, regardless of what they do, but send me some mock-ups. If you got them, send them over. I'll share them on Twitter. I'll retweet you. Let me see those mock-ups. Okay, I'm going to do one quick prediction, couple quick predictions. First one, I'm going to predict the Browns take a defensive lineman with their first pick in the draft. Another thing that I'm going to predict is the Browns are going to hire Freddie Kitchens as their head coach. So they're going to hire the guy that we all kind of want, at least in some way, shape, or form, associated with the Browns and calling plays. I think they're going to give him the job, even with all of his inexperience, even with the idea that he would be a head coach calling plays. I think they still give him the job. That's my prediction. We'll see how it all turns out. Last request I have of you all, those of you who have listened, please, please, please send me feedback. I would love to hear what I'm doing poorly. Tell me what I'm doing bad. Tell me what I'm doing well. I would like to hear it. I'd like to get better at this. I've really enjoyed doing it. I really am thankful for you for listening. I hope again to do this again next season. Go Browns.